When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Why don't you tell Pat in Denver we're playing this Pearl Jam song all the time at 3:30.
It's a great return song.
Have this guy stop crying about us playing Creed at 5:30.
People do get defensive about Pearl Jam.
Why don't you play Pearl Jam there? Yeah, we're all going to sing Jeremy. We're going to talk about the kid that murdered his classmates at 5:30 every single day. That's going to be the...
Does Creed have more bangers?
A banger? Sing-along bangers?
I think so.
Yes. But now Pearl Jam's obviously a much more accomplished band and a greater band.
Who would you rather hear in a bar?
But Creed, a 100%. Billion times? Yes.
Especially when you're drinking.
Billion times.
Dude, 5:30 Creed? Come on.
Yeah. Is it Ephraim or Ephraim?
Ephraim.
Ephraim in West Philly. What's up, man?
How's it going, y'all? I was calling because I want to talk about... I heard you guys talking about how Jalen Hurts is, you know, elite or not elite and stuff of that manner. But I think he has the potential to be elite. I don't think he's quite there yet because I feel like he makes a lot of boneheaded plays. Like, one thing I would talk about is, like, the type of sacks he takes. Certain sacks that he'd be taking that I'm like, that don't need to happen. Like, I think Brady said this. He always talks about living for another down. Mm-hmm. Like, living for another down. Like, throw the ball away and then, you know, live for another down. And I get it. It's harder for him to think that way because, like, he knows he can make moves with his legs. But you got to know when you're able to and when not, right? And I think that's going to be the next step for Jalen. It's the cerebral part. That's what it is. Like, I even saw the one play in that Cowboys game where when we were in the red zone, he threw the interception, but he had Calcaterra. Like, he looked – it's like he should have looked off Trayvon Diggs and threw it to the back of the end zone. That's what an elite quarterback would have done is what I'm getting at.
Like, so I do agree with you that, like, the sometimes his pocket presence isn't great. Not that he can't feel pressure. I think sometimes actually he – leaves a clean pocket too early, right? Mm-hmm. So I think he can sometimes be too sensitive to the pressure where he starts to feel it and he kind of leaves. But I do think this year it is worth mentioning he has been way better pre-snap than I think we all would have thought. Like, all offseason, the biggest question was, will they be better against the blitz? Can Jalen handle it? Kelsey's not here anymore. And that doesn't mean he doesn't have room to grow from, like, the shoulders up when it comes to, you know, football IQ and all those things. But in terms of just pre-snap, like, he has been way better than I think anybody besides maybe OG Wade would have thought.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do want to – can I add one more thing?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think this is talked about enough. I think we really need to commend him on the amount of – the instability he's had. Like, he hasn't had a lot of stability. And I think that gets overlooked a lot. The mere fact that he ran through, like, so many offensive coordinators and – I don't think that gets talked about a lot. If you look at even the elite guys you guys named, the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes, they had a lot of stability throughout their careers. It's only now that, you know, Patty Mahomes, you know, he lost Airbnb and stuff of that manner. But
yeah, but he is Andy Reid. I mean, that's the true OC, to your point about stability. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's had stability all his career. So when I look at those things, I'm like, yo, 2022, imagine if, Steichen stayed and stuff of that manner. Imagine the type of, we might have repeated. You just don't know, right? But you don't know these, obviously this is a what if type of scenario because we just don't really know. But the reality is like, I think that we need to be, like, Jalen Hurts is, I think with him, he's just such a born leader and poised that he's able to withstand all of that. Like, yo, like, yeah, I ran through this. My ace coordinator. I'm good. We're going to figure it out. And we figure it out. So it's like,
I don't know if he'd take it in stride as much as.
You did? Yeah.
All right, Ephraim.
Thank you for the take call, so man. Much.
Wow. All right.
We had to get rid of Ephraim because it sounded like he was calling from the subway or something. But
there's two different conversations. I was trying to hear the other conversation.
Yeah, what's going on in the background? Yeah. The two things there. First of all, This is actually going to sound like I am dinging him for this, but I'm actually giving credit. I don't think he's a born leader. I think he is becoming a good leader. Mm-hmm. I think if he was a born leader, they wouldn't have had to have a conversation with him in the offseason about being a leader. But I think he has embraced it this year. And I think to a certain extent, when you are changing your personality like that, sometimes you just have to act in a way that a leader would act, and then it becomes natural. So the things that aren't natural for him, I think, are he's making a conscious decision to do, and hopefully over time they become learned and become habit. Mm-hmm. But I don't get born leader out of him, but that's okay. Not everybody is. Right. He just needs to end up a leader.
I do think he's more of a introvert than maybe like a true like outgoing leader is. I do think he checks a lot of boxes. Like he definitely works hard. His whole life is about football. Yeah. I mean, he's in the facility all the time. Yeah. I think those are leadership qualities. But I agree with you, not to compare him to Embiid, but Embiid has had to come out of his shell a little bit, too.
Same thing.
In terms of being a leader.
Yes.
And I think Jalen needs to do that as well. Is in the process of it, however you want to say
and
it.
And by the way, for Joel, his teammates have complimented on it. Maxi has said, he didn't say much when I got here, but now he's become this. There's nothing wrong with the whole point of all of this is getting better at the things that you're not good at and acknowledging those things.
Yeah. Yep.
The thing that Ephraim brought up about he's talking about the throwing and the processing. Those are the things that we talk about ding him on. I think the question becomes, how much better at those things he can get. Yeah. And in my mind, sure, could he? I would imagine more years in the league, he will get incrementally better. But I think
there's still a ceiling.
Yes. I think if we're looking at a framework of who he is, this is sort of who he is. And he'll get incrementally better. And over 7 years, those incrementally better might add up to something that's much better than
he is now. I think that's a fair opinion to have. The only reason I wouldn't completely dive in on that is Jalen has had like ceilings put on him a few times in his career, and I think he's overcome them all. Like coming out of the draft, I mean, he had to transfer out of Alabama. He went to Oklahoma. He almost won the Heisman. He was a second round pick. He was viewed as a wildcat quarterback. Wherever we want to debate him, he clearly has become a top, at worst, 14, 13 quarterback. Yes. And I agree with you when it comes 15. When it comes to like throwing with anticipation, like, you know, those things, I don't know if you can learn that, if that's something you have to have. But I also didn't think he'd be this good against the blitz. So I think your concern is fair, but he has shown ability to overcome things we also thought he couldn't do.
I think of that's fair.
Well, and that's where decision-making can improve, understanding the offense. So now you can play with a little more anticipation, types of throws like that. His measurables are what they are.
And his arm is not special.
Yes,
so
but it's better than average.
No, it's like... Yes, I agree.
He throws one of the better deep balls in the league.
I agree, but I think that his arm can't make up for mistakes.
Right.
Like
yes.
The interception to Diggs, that's just not a great throw. Like I think too often it's why he throws a great deep ball. He throws a very like soft catchable
ball. Well, it's like the pass getting broke up the week before, the 4th-and-3 to AJ.
Right.
Yeah. You gotta get that ball in there. Like that ball, it took way too long to get to AJ. And it shouldn't have.
But that's why I think the issues he has sometimes with like anticipation is because he's not zinging that thing out of there. So it's important you get it out on time because you're not making it up in the air.
Yeah.
And the decision making on where he's putting the ball, he can't squeeze it into windows other quarterback. It doesn't mean he never can't. He just doesn't do it consistently. So that's why the IQ, like the football experience part of this really matters for him.
Your thing about not putting a ceiling on it because he keeps getting down and he keeps... That's fine until you hit it.
No, you're right. He might not.
People say the same thing about Maxi, and then all of a sudden you're like, but, well, you get to a point where you are.
I think
you
put a ceiling on Maxi. That's not fair. I do. That's my opinion.
He was our best player in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm. And a best player on a team in the playoffs that didn't get out of the first round.
Yeah, but the issue...
I mean, it just is what it is.
I just don't think you can say you can't... Like, you definitively can't win a title with him as the best player.
Yeah, I'll definitively.
Tyrese Maxi?
Yeah. Your league guy?
Dude, oh, my goodness.
How's your league guy?
Look, I wouldn't bet on it because winning a title is really hard. But, like... Other teams have won with guards as their best players. And
small guards who are shoot first.
Give me those guards.
Well, you guys aren't going to like this comparison, but Steph Curry is a very... I'm just saying...
So pick the best shooter of all time.
You're right. But you're so confident they can build around Joel. Like,
no, I'm not.
I think you don't think that Joel can be the best player on a title team?
No, The best
That's
player?
Different.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is Joel's size is also a deterrent for him because he's hurt all the time. Like, Maxi's size is a deterrent. I agree with you. But Joel's size, like, building around a center also isn't easy because they're hurt all the time.
But there's a capable... there's a difference. Joel is the best player on offense and the best player on defense on a contender.
Yes.
Give me a list of players in the NBA who can say that about. There's only one other player, and it's Giannis, and that's it.
Embiid is better than Maxi.
Okay.
I agree with you on that. Okay. And I agree Maxi's size is a deterrent. I'm just saying that his...
Okay, so you said Steph. Who's the next one? Because you gave me one.
I gave you one.
And Steph, by the way, is the best shooter of all time.
And also, you got to go to Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
I'm going to help you out.
Yeah, that's
the
only other one. Here, yeah.
And he wasn't really shooting. He was a much better playmaker than Tyrese is.
Yeah.
He was a passer as well.
Yeah, so. Look, I'm not saying I'd bet on it. I just think you dismiss it too easily. Like, he has improved. He's one of the better three-point shooters in the league.
He was before.
Yeah, this year not as much.
But what's the difference this year, do you think?
Big difference.
But also, to be fair, the roster... Hold on. But to be fair, the roster is built for Embiid. I think if you built the roster for Maxi, you would see different results.
So the roster looked like it was built for Maxi.
Yeah, what do you do? How does that work?
I don't know.
Maybe a dominant center to pull people down so he has room to shoot?
I'm not saying he can do it all by himself, but Embiid hasn't done it all by himself
either. No, I'm not talking about Embiid. We're putting that to the side. We're talking about Tyrese Maxi.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he's an all-star, so how many other all-stars
would
you say?
How many all-stars can be the best player on a championship team?
Yeah.
A very small number.
Okay, so you're saying there's like four players that fit this category.
There's probably seven.
Okay, well then that's different. If you want to tell me there is like, you know, almost on one hand, guys, yes, I'll agree with you there. But I think, like, I've seen Maxi have big playoff games.
Okay, so. Do you think Devin Booker can be the best player?
Who's more likely to make it through a postseason healthy? I know you don't want to bring
Maxi,
up Embiid.
But that's not what we're talking about.
But the reason this comes up is because they're not winning without Embiid, right? This is why, because you can't win with Maxi. You can't win with Maxi. At least Maxi is playing. Like, it has to be factored. He was. I know he's hurt now.
Yeah. Elliot, this is not the discussion. I'm not doing this because it's not the discussion. The discussion is people like you who say build around a 6-foot shoot first guard
are morons.
It doesn't make any sense. He would have to be generational in his shooting.
But Embiid is generational and they have not won with him. So like this idea that there is a one type of player you can win with, I don't think is true.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying there's one type of player you can win with. I'm saying that there is a type of player that makes it almost impossible to build around as a primary player.
Right.
Everyone's celebrating Donovan Mitchell. They're 11-0. Blah 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 blah. How many great teams in Utah did Donovan Mitchell have during the regular season, and then it didn't work?
Yeah, but.
And debatably, he wasn't even the best player on that team.
Right, but he's been to the second round. I mean, like, they have gone close. Like, the Knicks, I don't think the Knicks are going to win a title. But the Knicks did make the second round with Brunson as their best player. It's not improbable to think they could have then advanced past there, right? Like, these teams...
No, it is, because the point is that you can win in the first round playing against subpar talent because so many teams get into the playoffs. But when you get to that second round, you're usually going to play against the top four teams.
And Brunson wore down.
Yes. And so, and to Spike's point, is that's why it's hard to build around a smaller guy, because the ceiling is that second round. Are you getting past that second round? He's not getting you past that second round.
So even Lillard, who is
at his
peak, much better than Maxi is now.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Lillard, they got him as one of the 75 greatest players ever.
Lillard's better. Yeah.
He had one conference final.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Finals appearance, and it was sort of fluky.
It was.
You know, and he's unbelievable, an unbelievable player. Better at literally everything than Tyrese, at his peak, I'm talking about. And still, even then, you know, Portland didn't know what to do. They had a great big man. They had LaMarcus Aldridge. They had another guard next to him. They had all these things. It just, in the playoffs, it gets really hard. All of a sudden, you have to start shooting from 37 feet away, which is why Steph Curry is such an outlier. He is proof of the other thing.
Yeah,
he is the exception that proves the rule.
Hey, let's be honest. I mean, he ran up against LeBron. They gave up a 3-1 lead. Then they had to go get Kevin Durant.
Oh, you're talking about Steph?
Of course, that's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Yeah, but obviously Steph can be the best player on a title team.
Well, he didn't win an MVP until his fourth championship.
Right, but he has been the best player on a title team.
And yes, Max, of course,
yeah,
yes,
right,
yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, he has.
But also, like, to... you're not going to like this, but like to the idea that Maxey's body could break down. Like, I see big men's bodies break down too. So
there are wings too.
I know. Well, that would be ideal.
Yeah. So
ideal, your body is like 6'7".
All right.
Yeah.
I want to play this Pat McAfee, Nick Sirianni thing. I don't know how this is. You are.
I just don't know why you dismiss it so quickly.
He's special, man.
Because history proves it. History
he let me drag
it.
You back into it.
That's why I dismiss it, because history proves my point.
I
history
don't know if
proves
I fully,
my point.
Well, it's okay. It's fine. We can disagree. But I like.
You can't disagree with history. You can disagree with the future, but the history is what it is. You couldn't even come up with a second player.
Well, Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas is not a shoot first guard. Isaiah Thomas was a point guard. Joe Dumars was the shooting guard.
Allen Iverson took the team to the title. They didn't win it, but he got there.
Didn't win it. Right. And by the way, I would not choose to build around Allen Iverson today. And Allen Iverson never got there again.
Right.
And
we never even got close.
And is much, much, much better than Tyrese is.
Much, now, much, much better than Tyrese.
Iverson
is.
Was better than Tyrese. Yes.
I agree. The Twitter question is.
I agree.
The breaking news sounder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys want me to agree all the time. Yeah. I agree.
The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark Steelers. Yeah, go put up your Tyrese Maxey posters. I'm glad.
At least he plays.
Yeah. Great.
He's hurt.
It does matter. He's hurt now.
At least he plays. But the guy's not playing.
Like, they're 2-6 without Embiid. Yeah, because Embiid's not playing. Like, I would rather, if you had to give me one player from here on out to give me a chance to win a title, I would take Maxey over him.
All right. Well, that won't work. All right. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. We won't see, actually. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Mark's. Mark's-jewelers.com. I know how to build a championship team around him. Get a generational center who's much, much better than him, and that way you
yes,
can do
because that generational center is so many
is much, much better than him.
He is much better. And
much,
how's that
much
worked
better.
Out in the postseason?
Much, much better. Much,
Embiid's
better.
Body breaks down all the time in
yes.
the postseason.
Yes.
Okay, so but Maxey's body can't
to
break.
Be clear, I am not a fun person.
All right.
Who is better at their job, Nick Sirianni or Jalen Hurts? What do you think the response on Twitter is?
Oh, they're definitely going with Jalen Hurts.
What do you think the percentage is, Ike? You're very good at the percentage game.
I'm going to go 78% Jalen.
He's very good at
he
it.
He is.
79.1.
I think he's the best at the station at guessing these percentages. Yeah.
This is really... Yeah. He's pretty good, too.
Yes, I used to think Richie was the goat at it.
Watching Ike do it is different.
Well, you know the funny thing? I'm going to be honest. Richie actually made me sort of lock in on.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I've heard him
Ike.
Do it so many times.
Iron sharpens iron, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
like being back at
Lehigh. Lock in on it. Yeah.
So Nick Sirianni spent about 2 weeks being the butt of every national sports show joke. For everybody.
Yes.
Everybody crushing Nick Sirianni. I haven't seen anybody in the national realm compliment Nick Sirianni at all. But then Pat McAfee did this.
It's amazing. I need that like in a content hall of fame.
I think that he's one of those guys that other national sports talk hosts are worried about him coming after them. I really do think a person like him can change the tone of what everyone thinks about somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's been, you mentioned Ike yesterday, and this is absolutely true, that there wasn't any conversation about Nick yesterday, negative or otherwise. I do think if they keep winning, that the tide will turn on Nick.
No doubt.
I sort of feel it happening, and I hope it does. Everybody does.
Talking nationally or locally?
Everywhere.
I don't know, man, because when 2022, they were still doing all the, like, he's a clown on the sidelines, you can't win this way, the video of him at the Super Bowl going like this. I get your point, but I think people are pretty out on Nick. I don't know how many people are willing to change their mind.
I think it'll get there.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's only so many times you can credit the quarterback with wins and then not credit the head
coach
with the wins.
Who actually deserves the wins.
Because it's the only stat he has.
Yes.
It's the only stat he has. And I will be honest on Nick, and I said this when we started the show, I came into this thinking Nick was a complete doofus. Because most of my perception of Nick was
through Jack.
No, it was when I was here and he got hired and he seemed like a doofus when he got hired. Mm-hmm. And then I left for a few years and I just watched the Eagles like watching a football team. I didn't follow all the conversation around Nick. So I came back thinking this guy's a doofus. And then I just started listening to all of the things that people said he doesn't do well. This is what he's bad at. He doesn't get any credit for this. And it just started breaking my brain that
all of the things that a coach should get credit for, which is we dinged him with the culture thing last year.
Yep.
And rightly so.
100%.
Rightly so. The collapse ultimately is on the head coach. So then if you're going to ding him for that, then this year there has been nothing but good culture stuff through camp. And then when they had a moment where he did take a step back and he admitted it just in I shouldn't have done that. This was wrong, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He fixed it. They rallied behind him to a man. They all said they had his back. And not only, it's one thing to say that you have his back. It's another thing to go in and execute better. Mm-hmm. Not just come out in that Giants game, everybody beating their chest and screaming. Then you have to play the football game. Then you have to be good. But they turned it around. And I guess... And it also is proof of an adjustment. And you can say, well, it's Kellen Moore and it's Vic Fangio or whatever. But ultimately, he is the one who was the one I was hearing talking about bad tackling.
Yeah.
He is the one who listened to his offensive linemen and his offensive players mm-hmm. who said we should be running the ball more. He is the one who didn't have an ego so big that he didn't say, no, we'll do it my way, not the way that you're suggesting
100%.
Doing it. 100%. That is an asset as a leader. And he just, not everyone leads in the way. Andy didn't lead in the way we wanted him to lead. He didn't talk the way we wanted him to talk. He was yep. quiet all the time. He was sort of the opposite of Nick. But all we talked about with Andy is he had bad clock management. He didn't say anything in press conferences. He didn't take responsibility because he was just saying, I got to do a better job, blah, blah, blah. But all of these things, we made that mistake with Andy. Andy was great at his job. And we made the mistake of talking this one little thing, clock management, which matters, but it's just one thing, and how he talked. And we let it paint everything else. And I just feel like with Nick, we're doing the same thing. We're mm-hmm. letting how he talks and his maybe one or two things he's not great at define his entire existence. And I don't think it's fair, you know? And
I also think if people... could let go of the things they're mad at Nick about, the way he talks would then become a positive and not negative. Like, I do think he very much, like we talk about the pandering stuff with Bryce, like there is a lot of Nick where it's, you know, he's at the Phillies game, he's at the Sixers game, he's at Phillies hat at the podium. Like,
he's wearing bootleg t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's the same bootleg Mike Quick jersey everyone has yes. on his Philly. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And it is a bootleg Mike Quick jersey. Yes. I got confirmation on that.
To your point about how, like, the
I mean, it is.
I called it right away. First thing I did was text Spike. Like,
yep. I checked with Mitchell and Ness. It's definitely a bootleg Mike Quick jersey.
Quick needs to hook him up with a real one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the Eagles.
The Eagles.
Or someone, yeah.
Yes.
But... Hey, it's endearing. It's endearing. It's just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But,
or maybe his jersey's from China for $46.
One thing that has stood out to me, and I thought Mailata talked about it well last night on the Players Lounge. There does seem like this doesn't get all the attention, but it's clear that his message of like details and how he coaches them through the week does get through to the players. Like Jalen Carter after the game on Sunday is talking about, you know, every week Nick shows us a cut up of all the turnovers around the league and we learn from that. And then Nick, you know, says why he does it. And then Jordan Mailata is talking about like the details and the teaching tape. Like, I think sometimes if you hear one or two players hear something, it's like, all right, they're just talking to be nice about the coach. But being in the locker room, every player will bring up certain things that you hear Nick say. And I think that just is a sign of like, he does get through to these guys. For better or worse, the collapse last year is on him, but he definitely gets through to them.
Here's what I'll say. And we're all Nick guys.
Yes.
All of us are Nick guys.
Three out of four.
Well, I mean us three, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, no. No, Jack, stand where he stands at. We're Nick guys. I will say this in fairness to those who have been critical of him. I don't think it's all about the press conferences mm-hmm. and things of that nature. Some of it is in-game decision-making.
Yeah.
We can't. So, like, when fans are usually turned off by a coach or what have you, it's usually what happens in the game and does it result in a loss or in a victory. And while he certainly has won twice as many games that he's lost mm-hmm. around here, I just think this year, because of the weird dynamic of the setup of his spot mm-hmm. in the organization, the new coordination, all of that, it's been so clouded as to whose decision was it to do this? And sometimes I think Nick is taking the blame because he's the head coach.
And I think he stopped doing that,
yeah,
too,
which I'm happy.
Yes.
I'm happy he has. It was admirable, and I know you're trying to do the right thing, but it just confuses things a lot more. And I think that, at times, has made some people skeptical of Nick. But if you're going to get Nick Sirianni that we saw Sunday, Eagle fans, all they care about is the team winning. Mm-hmm. And when they don't win, somebody's going to answer for that. Or you better have answers for it, because the finger is going to be pointed at someone, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the defensive coordinator. You know, people didn't like Jonathan Gannon as a DC, you know, or whether it's the head coach. That's the fans. That's their right to do.
Yes.
And he has to be able to at least present it in a way that people don't take offense to him as a head coach, because losses are going to happen. But he has to present the loss and the reasons for it in a way that fans can be comfortable with. Okay, moving forward, I still have the same confidence, or I have confidence in you. What happens is, moving forward, people are like, dude, we're doomed.
Right.
Well, we're in trouble.
And I think part of that, because you just brought it up, the setup this year, and you've mentioned it, Spike, how he's in a tough situation. It's kind of been boiled down to, Nick is just responsible if they win or lose. Because, like, it's hard to point in a loss to, well, he did this
he
on
did
the
this
offense, because he's not viewed as having that power. So with Nick, it truly is win-loss. Like, that's it.
Yeah. And I give him credit for navigating the situation that he's been in this year, because it's not easy.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, Elliot.
Well, he does have an elite quarterback.
Oh, Jesus.
Which
Let him have it. Let him have it.
Yes,
let
that's
him have it.
All
let him have it.
NBA Cup tonight.
Yes.
Let's
do it.
If they win it, it counts.
Dude, I've been saying that for a year.
I know. All right. You can listen to Go Birds Daily, the Go Birds podcast.
Yes,
you can subscribe in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You get a little Elliot every morning. And I'm not even talking about your shoe size. I'm talking about
anything else.
That hammer is real, for real.
the 20, 25 minutes, half hour pod every day. Then you get after the games. It's great. So you can go subscribe there. Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you for having me.
Jason Wirth joins us in about a half an hour, which is awesome. Can't wait to talk to Jason Wirth. And we will talk next about a conflict I got in with a morning show today, trying to friggin' WIP once again, trying to tear people apart with Joel Embiid. We'll talk about that next. It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You know, Elliot's the kind of guy that would leave his old drafty windows in place for years and years. I can tell it by looking at him. See, he's shaking his head. He knows it. Don't be that guy or that girl. Don't be the person who doesn't fix something that you know you need fixed. Go Guida. If you need to fix the old drafty windows, you need new ones, you have doors. Guida knows that you probably waited too long. It's too close to winter. But
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.